The Team Australian Challenge is the official national entry in the 37th America's Cup to compete in both the Youth America's Cup and the first Women's America Cup in Barcelona 2024. Hello, I'm Deborah Wallace from Sailing Women's Network and Women in Sailing Events and Podcasts. It's my pleasure to share this episode from a live event I did on the 30th of November 2023. We had the opportunity to visit the Team Australia Challenge official headquarters at the Winnings Appliances offices in Alexandria. We heard from John Winning Jr., the CEO of Winning Appliances, and also one of the high-profile patrons of the challenge. John is also a competitive skiff sailor and the skipper of the maxi yacht Andrew Comanche, who competed in the 2023 Rolex Sydney to Hobart Yacht Race. Also giving an insight on the evening was Katerina Klum, the founder of Deep Sphere. She gave us a wonderful overview of what different mindsets there are of high-performing sports people and business people. Also, throughout the evening, we witnessed firsthand the youth and women's teams going through their paces in the AC40 foiling simulator. In this live recording, I chat with Nina Curtis and Lisa DeMainen, two of Australia's leading competitive female sailors, about the America's Cup Challenge and the campaign. So it's my pleasure to be able to share this live conversation with you. I really hope you enjoy this episode of Women in Sailing. Thank you, ladies, and thanks for the great commentary on the simulator. What have you been up to for the last 12 months?
Yeah, I've been doing some different things this year. I had a baby girl 6 months ago. She's 6 months today, actually, which is kind of has gone really quickly. It's been a really different year. I haven't really done much sailing to speak of since she was born, and then getting back into SailGP and also spending a lot of time right over there in the simulator. So it's been quite good timing for me to get to do some land computer sailing.
Lisa? It's been a different year for me as well. I was sailing the NACA up until August, and I've decided to stop that because Jason got a cup gig with Lingi, so he moved to Barcelona, and then I'm now land sailing as well, which is so exciting. And then I have the joy of interviewing Nina on the SailGP and talking to all the athletes and promoting sailing that way.
Ladies, what excites you about this opportunity to compete in the America's Cup?
I mean, I think we've been watching the America's Cup for since we probably can both remember, and I think it's always been very male dominated, and I think it's just incredible. I feel like we're at the precipice of women sailing being amazing. It's so great to have so many female sailors around the world, but to have a platform to show just how good the female sailors are at the moment with the Olympics and all the fast boat programs, SailGP, and now we have our own opportunity to compete in Barcelona at the same time as the Cup to show what we can do with these weapons. It's going to be difficult, but there's so many amazing female sailors out there and especially in Australia as well. So I'm just excited to have the platform to showcase that, and also I think the platform to show that we can do it just as well as the guys, hopefully.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. And on that, Australia's been so highly represented but not under our national flag, and so I think it's a really exciting opportunity for Australia to finally have our flag on the top of our boat, and it should get the ball rolling for us to get our stuff together, and hopefully this can be the platform to build a really exciting syndicate in the future.
Great. And what have you been focusing on, both of you? So in regards to the sailing that we've seen today, what are the main challenges and what have you been focusing on developing? Because this sailing is very different. Have you done this type of sailing before? I know Sail GP, you've both had an opportunity to be around and actually Sail GP. This is still very different from that.
Yeah, there's something quite unique in this space and time with the foiling monohull as well. And, you know, firstly, so excited to have that opportunity to get a chance to play and see and test and try. But, you know, what's really exciting is within our team, we have such a broad range of classes and knowledge and experiences. And it's been really cool to see, you know, both the women's and the youth teams working really closely together. And the real depth of information that we've got, including, you know, all of the, you know, brain power thrown behind in terms of coaching and supporting and so forth. So I really feel like we've got all the essential tools to perform really well. And for us now, we're just trying to fight time. You know, we're got to get access to the boat, and that's going to be our biggest challenge. And in the meantime, in the simulator, we're just trying to trick time.
I guess you got to walk before you can run, so it's great that we've got a simulator before we, you know, demolish it. So we're doing all the capsizing now, so we don't have to do it later. I think learning to actually pop up on the foils when you're slow is very difficult, and from all reports, that's what the guys are focusing on well, that it, as well, that we're in the cup teams. So I think, like, the first couple of weeks was just literally going head to win, getting out ahead to win, popping up on the foils. And then it's manoeuvres, executing that and being really precise with the trimming. I think comms was a massive jump for the team. I think now everyone's a lot more in sync. We can move in between, you know, different partnerships and really get those comms sorted. Because if the comms are wrong, nobody knows what's going on. And then now it's about putting it all together. And now we've got that, we're trying to make it harder with wind strength and shifts, because in reality, we're not going to be sailing in perfect breeze, as much as we'd like that. 12 knots of flat water. Barcelona doesn't look like that. So now we're trying to make it a little bit harder.
So I understand with the simulator, you can actually change the different types of water that you're sailing on. So with that, also, you don't need bridge strength to sail. So it's really an even playing field for women and men to actually participate together. So if you've got any thoughts on that, given the different types of sailing you've done, or what, you know, for example, Lisa, different sizes of boats and where Jason is now and what you're sailing in now.
Yeah, I think it's amazing. I think that for women in sailing, we've always had or being told, oh, well, you know, it's quite physical, you might not be able to do that. And I think Nina and I both experienced that when we were sailing Nacras. It was like, oh, you're going to crew a Nacra, are you sure? And we're like, yeah, we'll show you how to do it. And and that's been really cool. But now, you know, there's no real excuse. So, I mean, it's amazing that we have our own opportunity to race against other women. But for me, I think that, you know, we should see women on actual America's Cup boats. And we are behind an opportunity. And we probably don't have as much exposure at the moment, but, you know, with the GP, you know, we've got two of the girls that have been sailing, you know, with those guys on fast boats in the professional circuit, and they should have the opportunity. And it's the decision makers, it's the people picking the team that need to give them the shot. And this is a perfect platform to be able to A, upskill, and B, show that, you know, we can sit in a boat and push buttons just as good as anyone else.
push the right buttons.
Yeah, push the right buttons.
Has everyone had a look at the actual controls and how they trim and when they're tacking through? It's just incredible. It's amazing. So, Nina, do you have any thoughts on that as well?
Oh, you know, pretty much what Lisa said. Yeah. That, you know, we're walking in, especially SailGP is a really good example where we're walking in and there is quite a big skills gap, you know, when we're walking into that arena. These guys have been around for the development of the boats through those America's Cup pathways. A lot of them have come aboard the Australian team have designed, you know, the base concepts for the wing and so forth. And so there was like a huge gap that, you know, we're really fighting quite hard to close down. But, you know, here we are at an opportunity where we're given, you know, access to the same craft and that they're sailing right now and given the space to learn, and that, you know, that starting on the same start line is where, you know, we're really going to see like gender equality and change in the sport. And on another note, I think it's going to be a red hot competition because we're sailing one design boats, and there's a really good chance that this women's and youth competition could be far more exciting, you know, if we're sailing equal boats, you know, neck and neck and close, compared to, you know, sometimes, you know, how the America's Cup can play out, that there can be huge design and speed differences. So, you know, I'm quite excited about that. I do love one design racing, and I think that it's going to be really exciting.
I'm just reading my questions here to see what we haven't covered. So
I've got something to add.
Yeah,
okay.
Please do.
Well, obviously we've been focusing on the women, but we do have the youth team. And I think what's actually very, very cool about the youth team is that we can do mixed gender. Yeah. I think mixed gender sailing is so important to eventually get to equality. And we're seeing it with the GP, like with the NACRA, it's been fantastic because not only do we get to sail with men and learn from men, but then we also earn their respect.
Correct.
And I think that that's something that we're seeing in the youth, that we're all sailors in the boat. And I think once that then develops into more and those guys and girls are getting into cup teams, then it will be normal rather than something that's special or needs to be mandated. It's just going to be the best sailors that you can get, and includes all genders.
Yeah, that's great.
What about female sailors wanting to get into this? I mean, this is really elite sailing, you know, we've heard about the neuroscience. This is elite sailing, you know, not everyone's going to achieve that. But if someone is looking at stepping up, putting their hand up to do this type of sailing, what advice would you give to them?
I've always said two things to this question, and the first one is to have a nice thick skin and not to be afraid of making all of the mistakes, owning them and learning from them. I just truly think that, you know, especially in a situation like this, we're all learning on the boats, and if you're afraid to make those mistakes, you're never going to get better. So be brave and carry that thick skin and learn as many lessons as you can. And the other one is just to say yes to every opportunity that comes along, because you just don't know if that Sunday sail could introduce you to someone that gets you a ride, and you just need to be seen, and you need to you know, learn. There's a tremendous depth of information that you can get from in the most unique places. And so, yeah, saying yes to any opportunity that kind of crosses your path has always been something that I think serves any sailor really well.
Yeah, great. Right.
I just add to that is sail as many boats as possible. Like, I think very much in like the pathway program, sometimes you can kind of get stuck in one sort of boat.
Yeah.
But I think what makes a great sailor is they can jump in any boat, and each boat will teach you something unique that you can then take. You know, I'm not very good at sailing a laser, but sailing that might teach me something else that will help me on an NACRA, and the NACRA might help me on, you know, a yacht.
Yeah.
Who knows? And then from the yacht, I'll learn something I can take back to a NACRA or AC40. And I think we can get really pigeonholed in what we think is a pathway. But
yeah.
Kind of what Neen said is that if you sail with other people, you can learn things, and other boats teach you that too.
So here's a trick question. What did you learn on Triton the other day? Lisa came out and helmed us across the line to win. So what did you learn?
What did I learn? Well, it was probably a lot longer boat than I'm used to sailing.
Yeah.
So when I had to do a tack bear away, I was a bit nervous about that. And an AC foot, not that I'm steering, is a lot bigger than the boats that I sail. So I can take that with me.
Fantastic. Now, who are some of your inspirations? Where did you get your inspiration from to take up sailing, to continue along that career path? You know, it's not an easy career path, and you really are leading or trailblazing. And there's a couple of other women in this room that are trailblazers as well in different genres. But who have you looked up to in your sailing career?
It's an interesting question because I distinctly remember watching Nathan Attridge's medal race in Beijing, and you know, it was just an epic race, and I was just thinking, like, obviously it was devastating, but it was exciting, and for me that was probably like the first time that I really had dreamt of going to the Olympics. So for me, I remember that. And then Darren Bundock, who was our competitor and then a coach, and then I sailed with him. I think he was really integral in my sailing career and Jason's sailing career, and you know, getting us overseas and getting into that fast boat cat scene, and then also his wife Carolyn Brower, who's pretty epic woman in sailing. She's, you know, along with Bundy, been pretty important in my journey, and then also like the girls around us as well. Everyone is achieving great things and pushing, and we're only here because the women before us pushed for more opportunity. And I was really lucky that we had a mixed catamaran in the Olympics, otherwise I might not have got here, but that's because somebody fought for that. And and I think that's where Nina and I, and I know some of the other girls here, we're trying to be trailblazers and fight for this, so that, you know, the girls coming through are just straight and selected into teams. So you can look around you a lot and draw inspiration from the people that you're sitting next to.
Definitely sitting next to.
I said yes to an opportunity to sail. I think it must have been a far 40 on Sydney Harbour. When I was little, I got to be the tweaker trimmer. It was very exciting. And I was on board with Abiella, who's an incredible ocean racing champion. And she had a knife in her teeth, and she climbed very dramatically out into the spinnaker pole to untangle something. And I was like, this woman is insane. She was being paid professionally to sell, you know, yachts in Australia, and I just thought that was incredible, because I couldn't see that opportunity open for many people. And you know, fast forward a few years, I got to go around the world with her on Team Brunel in the Volvo Ocean Race, and she was just as badass. She had a big black eye when we were around in Cape Horn, but she was also the boat captain on board our boat, you know, and so if anything broke down, she would fix it. And, you know, she's a mum, and she's an absolute badass. And so I feel, you know, tremendous privilege to have been able to, later on in my career, you know, sail with her. But I just still remember that feeling of having stars in my eyes in that moment. And so I've always really looked up to her.
And also, just going back to right when we started this conversation about having a child, changing your perspective, children of our beautiful sailors, women or men, how has that changed your outlook on sailing, or has it contributed, or what are we looking at in the future?
I wonder what I did with all my spare time before. That's for sure. No, I've had a baby girl, and I feel like, I don't think I've ever felt, I've always been very motivated to, you know, for these opportunities to be available to my peers, to the women that I grew up sailing with. But none of that has ever, you know, held a flame to how I feel about it now. And I want her to be able to grow up and have, you know, choose whatever path she wants. And so that's obviously kind of fueled a fire in me. But, you know, I don't think it changes much more than logistics on a very, you know, practical notion. And there's been, you know, this group of women, you know, leading the way in that sense, and I've watched, you know, people be able to pull it off, and so, you know, that's how I've gone about, you know, trying to get back into it and put my best foot forward.
I know Carolyn Brower navigated the sport doing Volvos around the world with a young son as well, so just having very supportive partners, so which is great. Okay, now that's a very simple question for you both. Why is America's Cup the Everest of sailing?
I think it's just so hard to win. I think it draws in all the different elements of sailing. And I think from, you know, design to making a really good team to being able to race under pressure in a heat of, you know, one-on-one battle, not very often. And I think not being able to see your competitors and have those touch points is actually a really difficult thing, because you've got to really, you know, bank on the people that you put around you. So from day one until execution, there's so many steps, and it, you know, it's just so hard to win, and everyone wants to win things that are hard to win. And I know, you know, I wasn't alive in 1983, but I've heard stories about it. And I think, you know, something like that for Australia and living through that again would just be amazing, because we don't get that many opportunities as a country to go out for battle. First of all, you got to get there, and then you got to win the match race.
And that's where that Everest comes in, because just getting to the start line is a tremendous effort, and we wouldn't, you know, be here and with this unique opportunity getting to play with this simulator if it wasn't for a core group of highly motivated, highly intelligent, very, you know, and like fighting all the good fights for us. And you know, without this team, we wouldn't be here. And so we're so grateful they are still fighting tooth and nail for us to have the best opportunity for now for us athletes to go forth and take the win. And we're not, as Herman said earlier, you know, we're not here to come second. We have our sights very firmly placed on winning this thing and, you know, both of the trophies and really stamp, you know, Australia on the map.
And that was my last question. Can we win? Yes, we can.
Yes!
Yeah, you know, we're all here for that one purpose. Yeah.
Fantastic. Do we have any questions? Because I've run out. Scotty?
Yeah, I noticed the boxing kangaroo flag, and you referenced 1983. Is there really any comparison, anything that you can draw from those, from that campaign? Has JB told you anything? Any insights there?
Well, I've heard a lot of time, no cash, no splash. He's got that firmly ingrained, and he's been, JB's been incredibly hands-on as a patron and was a big part of, you know, getting our selection camp set up and getting enough, you know, media hype for us to get, you know, up to where we are. And we're really looking forward to, you know, his learnings as we, you know, walk down this path. But, you know, absolutely, there's a huge amount of heritage and we're, yeah, hunting for that win.
Let's give the ladies a round of applause. Thank you so much.